Wonderful stuff. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Heinrich Titus is the new national leader of Shofar. So I know we've had a few changes. Some of you are new to us. You won't know what happened or the past. But if you do have any questions, please come and speak to us. But I'll send out an email to all of you guys this week, just, you know, concerning the changes of leadership and so on. But I'm so excited for Heinrich because I know him personally. Great friends of Hester and myself, and he was actually one of the guys who encouraged me to come to Bloemfontein because I served under him in Pretoria, and I was quite comfortable being the office manager, being his support, being his right-hand man or whatever, and I thought, this is my place for life. You know, I'm like happy to do this for the rest of my life, and until the Lord said, you know, I must move, and Heinrich was the one who said, you need to really go pray about this, because I first said, no, I think I'm fine, yeah, you know. And he was the one who encouraged me and said, listen, yeah, let's trust God because I believe that you've been called to lead and to pastor a church. And thank you, Jesus, for Heinrich and for just confirming it in my life because I'm so glad I made the move to Bloemfontein. But I'm so thankful for Heinrich in my life. He's an amazing guy. And I'm trusting that as he leads our movement into the next season, God will do amazing things. Amen. So I'm excited for that. Who's excited to be here this morning? Isn't church amazing? Isn't church God's plan? Amen. It's wonderful. We are not just playing games this morning. We're not just going through the motions. We are busy with eternal stuff. Amen. I think there's no better place to be than to be right here in the house of the Lord. I really believe it, and I'm so excited. My wife sends a lot of greetings. She's got massive problems at the moment, massive challenges. Life is so tough for her. She's sitting in Mauritius. You know, there life just happens, and you drink a lot of stuff, and you eat a lot of stuff, and you sleep on perfect beds, and you have a swimming pool outside your own villa, and so life is really tough for her, and I've got three kids to look after, so praise Jesus. But I'm thank you for your prayers, because there's a lot of grace, and but she sends lots of love. Yeah, some people just have favor on their lives. You know, when I married Esther, the pastor said, you have got favor on your life, and like I'm like, but I thought, you know, the Bible says the guy gets favor on his life when, you know, when you marry. I mean, that's what the Bible says. He finds a wife, finds favor, you know. And the guy just said, no, I believe you're the favored one. And I'm like, and now I can see my wife is like, I got to let her go. She's like an eagle. She must just fly, you know. So I said, she said, thanks for letting me go. And I said, yeah, I better do that because otherwise I won't have a happy life, you know. So, but it's amazing. What a blessing. I'm missing her. The kids are missing her, and she's missing us. I know that. So she knows where home is. So Mauritius can be cool, but home is next to me in bed, in our house. So I remember a friend of mine got saved about 15 years ago. I was newly spirit-filled, and I was a small group facilitator at the time. And this guy got ready. He wasn't my friend at the time. I thought he was this weirdo, drinking and partying and doing the Stellenbosch life as an engineering student. And he came to church one night, and he responded to an altar call. And I'd seen him at the faculty, and I knew that he wasn't like the most goody-goody type of guy. And here he is in church responding to this altar call and just giving everything. He was like shaking. He was so hungry for the Lord. And the Lord said, you go and pray for him. I'm like, no, there's lots of other people. And the Lord said, you go pray for him. And so I stood with him there, and he's like, yeah, and he's like shaking in the presence of God. He's so excited. He's so just amazed at God's goodness, and he's just giving everything. And that night he got spirit-filled. He started to speak in tongues. I didn't even pray like the typical prayer with him. I just started to pray, and he was starting to pray in tongues. He got filled with the Spirit, got baptized soon after that. He just gave everything to the Lord. And that first week, I had the privilege to walk with him a little bit. Literally, we walked to the faculty together at times. But I literally invited him to every. He said, when's the next church meeting? Like, I'm going to go to Bible school. So Tuesday night, he was at Bible school. Then he went to our small group on the Wednesday. He just said, where are all these church? I just want to be with the church people. I'm just so hungry. And he told me how he tore down all his Michael Schumacher posters, and he used to like worship Formula One and worship. He had this weird music. He threw all his CDs away, threw everything away that was contrary to God. And I just witnessed in this first week this guy being radically saved from the world and just wanting more and more and more of God. And you know, when I think back to that time, I just realized it's like in that moment where this guy got saved, it's like he realized this is what his life is about. This is what he's living for. This is what he's been waiting for all his life, is just to have this moment where nothing else matters. You know, even he would still go to class. He was a master student, but it was like his life paused for a while because suddenly he had been transformed from darkness into light, and he couldn't get enough of this marvelous light that he was in, that he found himself in. And it was such a privilege to watch his life, you know, and you sort of suddenly get confronted with your own salvation and your own passion for the Lord, because this guy would be on time. In fact, he'd be early for church. He'd be early for small group. He'd be upset with me because I came a little bit late for Bible school, but he's been waiting for 10 or 15 minutes already because he is so hungry for God. And I was so challenged because here I am, like, I'm doing that. And I'm also excited for the Lord, and I'm you know, I'm just a leader now, a new leader. But you know, this guy's passion just exceeded mine for some other reason. And so I was challenged in my own walk with the Lord at the time. But what a privilege to see someone getting to know Jesus. To see someone throwing away everything, just discarding everything in his life that didn't bring glory to God. And so, this morning, I want to talk about our purpose, because for those of you who've been following us the last few weeks, we're talking about why am I here. And the last two Sundays, I've been preaching about why am I here, who am I, our identity. And for the next 2 weeks, I want to talk about why am I here. Why are you here? Why are we here? What is our reason for living? And in this time, seeing this guy, just realizing his reason for living is there's just one purpose. You see, Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, he writes and he contemplates the purpose of life, and 9 times he mentions all the stuff that he can think of in life, and he says every single one of this is just a grasping for the wind, a chasing after the wind. And I want to ask you this morning, why are you here? Why are you living? What are you living for? Because, you know, I've been speaking to people the last while. I've been having meetings with people, and it just seems like life is getting busier and busier and busier. It seems like whether you're a student, life is so busy. You're struggling to make it through the day. If you're working, if you've got a family, you're struggling to just survive. You know, 24 hours isn't enough, it seems. You know, they say there's 24 hours in the day, and then you've got the nights too, you know. Not quite. I wish it was like that. It seems like there's not enough time in a day to do what we're doing. And then the question comes to mind, what are we doing with us 24 hours? Why are we alive? And is what you're doing right now, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? I want to say, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. Because I know each one of us are doing something different. Some of us are business people, some of us are studying, some of us are full-time moms, or some of us are full-time dads at this stage, and we happen to be in the ministry as well. But whatever you're doing, I believe it doesn't really matter what you're doing. You know, sometimes we so want to find our purpose. You know, we like, as long as I just find my purpose in life, and we look for stuff to do to find our purpose. But I want to say this morning, purpose and the reason you're living does not start with you. Can I have an amen? The reason you're living does not start with you. You see, if I take this pulpit, okay, this isn't actually a pulpit. It's a table. Okay, it's like a bar table, I guess. But if I take this thing and I ask this thing, like, what is it made for? Now, obviously, this thing's not going to know what it's made for. But any creation is not going to know what it's made for. You've got to go to the thing or the person that created it. So I need to find out what this thing is made for. Now, I'm not using it, you know, actually properly in church, because it's a table, it's not supposed to be a pulpit, but you know what, it works very well to preach from. But if you have to find out what is this thing made for, what is it designed for, you're going to have to go to the person that designed it, that decided there must be four like feet here, and this is the length of this or the height of this. This is how big this thing is, because it's designed for a specific purpose. So you need to go to the designer to ask, what is this table made for? What was its actual purpose? What is its purpose? And so for us as people, we need to go to our designer. We need to go to our creator and ask him, what is our purpose? So have you asked your designer, what is your purpose in life? Have you thought about this? So I really believe we need to sometimes just stop a little bit and just say, God, why am I here? And that's what we're doing in this next while. And who's been enjoying the Connect group so far? Who's in a Connect group? Who's enjoying it? Just raise your hand. I'm really believing that when we discover who we are and discover why we are here, I believe life is going to happen. We're going to find fulfillment in life. And so I want to ask you, why are you here? Why am I here? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul's writing to the Romans, and he's talking here about the whole thing of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being empowered with the Holy Spirit. And then he says that, you know, we need to go through suffering, and we, in order to glorify God, that we need to go through this change in our lives. And then he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, there's a bit of bad news when we become a Christian, because it's no longer about us. And I think that is the most challenging for us as believers, is when we come to know Jesus, we realize that it's not about us anymore. Amen. And so many times, and I think that's the biggest battle with Christians at the moment, is that it seems to be all about us, but it's not. In fact, it says here that you are called according to his purpose. Turn to someone next to you and say, his purpose. You see, it's amazing when we look back on history, because history is not about us. About him, his story. That's what history is, his story. And we are busy fulfilling history even right now. Even in this morning, there's a specific purpose that God has designed for this meeting this morning. There's a specific purpose in every minute of the day, because God has designed, it's part of his story. And so you are part of his story. But I believe there's only one reason that we are all living for. And it has many aspects to it, but there's only one reason that we're living for. The answer is yeah, in verse 29. So it says in verse 28, it says that, you know, and we love to quote that verse because, you know, we somehow know that if things get tough, oh great, God is going to work things out. Okay, and it is true, but it's all about those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, those who have responded to the relationship that God invites us all to. But then it goes on and says, and we know, sorry, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Who is that he foreknew? I believe he knows every person's choice. Now, people are going to come with an argument here about, you know, the predestination and all the election and all of this stuff. There's massive theological debates about it, and you know, are you a Calvinist or are you an Arminianist? You know, do you believe in God has chosen specific people for salvation or not, and or is everyone able to? So there's two extremes on the theological debate, and I don't want to even go into that this morning because I don't believe it's so relevant. I believe God is sovereign. God knows everyone's choices. So if you've made a choice for God, he foreknows your choice. He knew the choice you were going to make. Amen. So let's get that out the way, and let's say that we've all made a choice for God. God knows you, and then it says that because he knows you, it says he also predestined you for something. Amen. Predestined means to plan beforehand, to determine beforehand. God has got a specific plan for each of our lives. Amen. Whether you like it or not, God has got a plan for your life. But what is amazing about God is he gives us a choice to follow that plan or not. So what is his plan? His plan is that we might be and not do a lot of things. See, I want to say is for us as believers, for us as people in this world, it's so difficult for us to just be. This weekend has been amazing for me, just being alone with the kids, because, you know, we've sometimes got so much stuff to do, and it was just amazing for me. It felt like life stood a little bit still for a while, even though I did a lot of stuff, but it was just nice to be with the kids. Just nice to be at home, just nice to fellowship, not that we don't do it when my wife is with us, but it felt really like it's just amazing just to be and just to let life happen, and it just feels so free. It feels so peaceful. But we find it difficult to be because we've got to do the whole time. We've always got to be doing something. And I'm not saying we mustn't do anything. I'm just saying our purpose is not to do primarily. Our purpose is to be. So what do we have to be? The Bible says our predestined purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son. Our purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is our one purpose. Why do we need to be conformed to his image? Well, I think all of us, is there anyone here that's like perfect? Anyone here think your life is really sorted and your reaction to life is amazing? It's always according to God. You never get cross with your kids. You never get cross with your wife or your husband. You never shout at anyone. You never get anxious about something. I don't think any of us can say yes to that. We've all got personal issues. We've all got stuff that we have to work through. So I believe all of us have to be conformed to the image of God's Son, because we are not conforming to his likeness quite yet. And never will be until he comes. But apart from the personal issues, I believe if we just look at our nation, you know, we look at the believer's reaction. Now, I don't know if you guys have been following this thing of Angus Buck and this It's Time thing. I really want to encourage you guys to be there. But if you look at the debates, or not the debates, but just the reaction of some, and I'm talking about believers here. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about Christians who've got opinions about everything. This is now, you know, why can't we just pray in our own houses? Why do we have to get together and all of this? And people are going against him and everything. And then you just realize, like, people have just got to be conformed to God's image. There's no believer that's perfect. In fact, some believers have got massive issues, like all of us. And the other day, someone posted on Facebook just a post about, should Christians encourage people to wear tattoos? Should Christians be encouraged to, and you know, should we, what is the stance on tattoos for us as believers? And it's just, I didn't read everything, but I just saw on that post, there were 188 comments on that short little. And so someone decided to stir De Liu, a biggie, okay. I won't say what the guys say. You've almost De Liu, you it. But anyway, so someone just stirred the line a little bit, and this thing roared, okay. There were opinions, there were comments, there were judgment, there was negativity, it was just, sure, people write long art things and quote the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's scripture being thrown around, and a guy just asked a question. But this guy kind of has this knack to stir a little bit. But then you realize when you read the stuff that believers even write, then you think, sure, God, we need to be conformed to your image. Because everyone has got their own opinion. Everyone seems to be wanting to do what they think is right. And that is the life we're living. Everyone has got their own opinion. But what about Jesus' opinion? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say about our nation? What does Jesus say about the 22nd of April? What, you know? But each one wants to decide for themselves. So we can throw out a lot of stuff. We can throw out some controversial issues, and you know what will happen? It's like, you know, when an orange or a fruit or something gets squeezed, a lemon or an orange gets squeezed, you know what comes out? Just the juice that's inside. So many times when believers get squeezed a little bit and get pressed in certain areas, then we'll see what comes out. Isn't that so? We will see what's really inside of someone. And are they really conforming to the image of Christ? Because many times outwardly we look great, but inside, no one's going to know what's inside until you start to squeeze someone. You see, you're going to see how much someone conforms to the image of Christ by the fruit that's in them. By the fruit that comes out, because the root is inside. The root is either good or bad, but there's fruit coming out, and the fruit is going to be seen. And I want to say, what is the fruit of our nation? What is the fruit of South Africa? We call ourselves believers. We call ourselves Christians. 80%, they say, or 7, I don't know how many it is. But primarily, we're supposed to be a Christian nation. But what is the fruit of our nation? Let's really be honest. What is the fruit of our city? What is the fruit of even our church? And what is the fruit personally of our lives? You see, the conforming here talks about the character. It talks about we need to be conformed to the character of Christ, because that is what God is wanting. Rick Warren, I just want to read a quote that he wrote here, talking here about character and about purpose and what is your purpose. And I'll mention some of these things just now as well. But he says here that God is far more interested in what you are than in what you do. He's far more interested in your being than in your doing. A lot of people ask, what is God's will for my life, in my job or my career? And you know what? You could probably have a dozen different careers and God would say, it's still fine. Because God is more interested in your character. And I'll tell you why. You're not taking your career into eternity, but you're taking your character. So many times we try to find, well, what must we do? And, you know, what exact job must we do? And must we be in the ministry or not? Or must we be, you know, must we be a sports person or not? Must we have a career? How much money must we make? And I believe it's secondary. I don't think it's unimportant, but I don't believe it's primarily of importance. I believe our purpose on earth is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So the conforming talks about character. Conforming is a word. It's like where you have to partner with this person. You got to partner with him. You got to be with this person to be conformed to their character. Isn't that so? I love seeing married couples, how you know the people before they got married, and then when they walk through marriage, you just see just these little habits that are like the same now. You know, they've picked each other's habits up or something, you know, or they start to look like each other. I mean, look at Peter and Talita. They're like starting to look like each other, you know. I mean, Peter's hair is like, you know, just as long as Talita. It's amazing what marriage does. But I mean, married couples tend to, it works like that. You pick up little habits. I mean, I've seen with my wife doing stuff that I do, and I'm thinking like, it's just not in her personality. But that's what happens when you rub off on someone. By spending time with them, by being conformed to their character. And that is what we are supposed to do. Our character is supposed to become and reflect like Christ's. And then it goes on to say we've got to be conformed to something specific. It's called the image of the Son of God. The image. An image is amazing. I forgot to bring a mirror here, but I was gonna bring a little mirror and then like ask you guys to look in this mirror. Like, you know, what do you see in that mirror? Do you see Alistair? Do you see Nanda? Do you see Benny? Do you see or do you see the image of Christ starting to form? Because that is our purpose. Our purpose is to, when we look in the mirror, we're not supposed to see all the, you know, yes, you've got weird stuff on your face and you don't always look like you want to look, but it's not about what you look like. It's really about the image that you are portraying, the character of Christ. So God's purpose for our lives is three R's. First of all, you can write this down. His purpose for our lives is that, number one, we reflect Him. And you know what? You can only reflect what you receive. Is that so? What you see in that mirror is like what you reflect. You know, it's what you've received. You can't reflect something else. So if you haven't received Christ, if you're not living in Christ, if Christ is not consuming you, you're not going to portray and reflect a Christ that's all consuming. You're going to portray half Christ if you've only received half of him. So I believe the more we open our arms, the more we say, Jesus, look, I want to be like you. I just want to spend time with you. I want to love you more. Then you're going to portray that. But if you do the religious thing and you just tick the box, give your life to Jesus at some massive crusade or in a church or whatever, and you just go on with your life, are you going to reflect Christ, or are you just going to reflect that I ticked the box, so I'm fine? Amen. So we got to reflect him, and we can only reflect that which we receive. So what are you receiving? What are you filling yourself with? What are you filling your life with? Because you're going to reflect that. Amen. Then number two, you need to represent him. The second R, our purpose is not only to reflect him, but then to represent him. You need to be an ambassador. You know, an ambassador of a country doesn't stay in the other country. An ambassador of that certain country comes to represent that country in another country. We've got a lot of ambassadors. If you live in Pretoria, you'll just see there's like diplomats all over. They represent different countries. And so they're there. They live in that place. They become one of the people to represent their country where they're coming from. And so as an ambassador, as a representative of Christ, we cannot just stay where we are. We must also go and represent him into the world. Amen. You can't just stay in your room and have a nice quiet time and have, that's great. But then he says to you after a while, okay, go now. Go and live your life. Whatever you're doing, whether you're a student or a family member, I mean, just a stay-home person, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a sportsman, go and represent Christ. That is your purpose, to be an ambassador. And then lastly, we'll talk about that next week, you're supposed to reproduce Christ in other people. So reflect, represent, reproduce. It's all about being conformed to the image of the Son of God. Now maybe this morning you're asking me and saying, but Alistair, okay, how do I do this? I see Romans 8:29. I see that I've got to be conformed to his image. So give me a few points. So I don't want to give you a 10-point plan, but I believe Jesus gave us a very cool clue when he said to his disciples one thing: follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus wouldn't have made it difficult if he said, this is what you must be. You must be like me. You must be conformed to my image. He wouldn't have made it difficult and impossible to do it. He would have said, this is what you got to do. And it's like the disciples suddenly had a clue as to what they were supposed to do in life. They were supposed to follow him. He would form them, and they would fish for men. Three F's: follow, form, and fish. So number one, the follow. There's one thing that God wants us to have. Hebrews 11:6 says there's only one thing that pleases God. It's called faith. The following of Jesus requires our faith. It requires us to believe. And I was at a meeting on Friday with Uncle Angus when he was talking to all the church leaders in Bloemfontein and business leaders. And just the faith of this guy just challenged me solidly. It was like my off day, and kind of, you know, I was so busy with a lot of stuff that I had to do, just admin and things around the house. And so I got to this meeting, and there's awesome worship, and I'm like so distracted, and I'm just sitting there. And I'm like, just saying, God, I just need to focus now, because I'm thinking about so many other things, and I know this is important, and I want to be here, but... And then he starts speaking, and you just experience the anointing of God. You just experience faith for a nation. Amen. Not just faith for your own life, and it's amazing. We start having faith for our own life, like Heinrich testified. You come into church, you get saved, you get on fire for the Lord, and so you've got faith for your own life, but then you start to grow in your faith for other people. Then you start to grow in your faith for a church. You know, you become a pastor and you realize you've got to have faith for a church. You've got to have faith for a city and for a campus. And then you become like Uncle Angus, a father to the nation, and you've got faith for a nation and for the nations. But in order to follow Jesus, we need to have faith. We need to believe. Amen. Jesus is looking for faith. He's not just looking for us to do a lot of stuff. And I'm challenged by it. I'm saying, God, what am I doing with my life? Is it really believing, or am I just, you know, the Western life is so easy. We've got our money, we've got our our kids and our family and it's all sorted and we've got our salaries and we just go through life. You know, do we really need faith every month? Some of you guys do, like Sean's got his own business, you know. Maybe you need a bit more faith because you're not getting paid by someone, you're paying yourself. You're paying a lot of people, so you need faith. But do we need faith to live by, or do we put stuff in place and you know, we just don't really need to live by faith. Or are we trusting God? So I want to ask you this morning, I want to challenge you, what do you have faith for from God? I'm talking about stuff from God, not just faith for, you know, the pie in the sky stuff. Oh, I've got faith for a Ferrari, you know, thank you, Lord, for a new car. And, I mean, that's, you can have faith for that, but is that really what matters, whether you drive a nice car, live in a nice house? You can have faith for it. But what is God saying to you? What do you have faith for this morning? If you're following Jesus, you need to believe for the stuff that he's believing for. And I believe he's believing for a lot of things. God has got faith for this earth. He's got faith for us to change. He's got faith for the sinners out there to change. He's got faith for people to come to salvation. Amen. Anyone excited about that? But what do you have faith for this morning? What do you believe for? Because that's the following part. Can't follow Jesus without faith. It starts with faith and it ends with faith. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew and the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I want to challenge us this morning, myself included. What do we have faith for? What is God believing for? I asked the intercessors the other day. In fact, I ask them every Thursday when we come together and we pray. I say, you know, let's not just, sometimes we wait upon God and it's good. It's, you know, we've got to hear what God says. But, you know, sometimes we must come to the intercession meeting. And I said to them last time, come with faith. What do you believe this week for? Let's pray for something, whether it's finances for the church or new leaders to be raised up or more people to be saved or a new building, you know. But what do you have faith for? Do you have faith for your roommate next door, or your neighbor or your family member? Let's pray with faith. Let's say, God, we believe in this. We're not just going to wait on God and somewhere out there things will happen. No. God is practical and he says, believe me. But follow me. Follow me in faith. And then the second thing, number two, is that we're talking here about how do we conform to the image of God. I believe the second F, that is the thing of forming. Christ said, follow me and I will make you fishes of men. I'll make you. I'll do something in your life. I'll form something in you. You know what Jesus came to establish on earth? He came to establish what we are doing today. And not what we're doing today, who we are today. He came to establish his church. Amen. And when you mention church these days, it's like, well, you know, then you're going to get another Facebook debate like that. You know, like, what is church and what is the ministry and is church a fellowship or what is... You're going to get a lot of stuff about church these days. But I don't want to debate that. I just know that Jesus promised that he will build his church and he came to establish his church. Amen. And I went to a talk last Friday at another church and just such an amazing leader from, not from here, he's from Johannesburg, but he came to speak into this church's leadership and I was invited, a couple of other church leaders, and it was just amazing, his heart for the church. His heart for the church of Jesus Christ. And he's been through a couple of churches. He's in the ministry now and been in the ministry in various churches. And he says, you know, he's been challenged by church because he's been hurt by church and he's been offended and has to work through stuff. But he still is so passionate about God's plan A for the world. And that's the church. So the second F, you can call it family, you can call it fellowship, whatever you want to call it. But the second F is where Christ forms himself in us and it's going to happen in the church. Amen. That's where it's going to happen. Small group, Sunday services, prayer meetings, whatever. But as a gathering of believers, that's where Christ is going to be formed in us. And I believe in church. I don't know about you. I'm excited. Just like Pastor Heinrich said, you know, his life has changed. I know my life has changed through church. Through Shofar, because I was born, and I want to tell you, some of you know my story, but I was born again. I was 15 years old when I was born again, but you know, I wasn't born into a church, because some evangelist, and I honor him, Peter Pollock and Trevor Goddard, came to do a crusade at our school, and I gave my life to Jesus, but you know what, I wasn't born into a family, because I went to the traditional church that I was going to, but I wasn't discipled at all. For 9 years of my life, I wasn't discipled, and I knew God, and I had this relationship with the Lord, but I wasn't growing and I wasn't having Christ formed in me. I knew I was going to heaven. I was 100% assured of going to heaven. But I wasn't being formed into the image of Christ until I was born into a family. And so when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, when I got baptized in water, it was just the most amazing experience because I felt, and there was a leader, Pastor Sias, who's coming out on the 23rd, and another cell leader who I was part of the cell group at the time. The two of them baptized me in Pastor Fred May's swimming pool in Stellenbosch, and I never forget that moment. I realized I'm born into a family. I was baptized with a lot of other people. It was awesome. There were people around me. I wasn't isolated like I was when I was 15 years old. Because when I was 15 years old, I gave my life to the Lord on my own. There was no one to pray for me. I didn't respond to an altar call or anything. I just knew in my heart I had to give my life to the Lord, but I didn't know what I was doing. No one helped me and said, you know what, the next step is this. And the Holy Spirit was with me and He helped me not to swear. You know, everyone else says the F word at school, like the four-letter F word. I said the other four-letter F word. Flip, I couldn't say the other F word. God helped me to stop swearing, or not that I really started swearing a lot, because when you're 15 years old, you kind of brought up a bit, kind of in safe environment, can I say, on a farm. And but I remember the Holy Spirit was there with me, but no one helped me. No one told me, Alistair, this is, read this. You know, I used to read my Bible and just blindly try and follow my way into this new faith that I'd started. My parents didn't have a clue as to what happened to me. I didn't tell anyone. It was me and Jesus. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, when I got baptized, I tell you, my household knew that I was saved. Amen. I anointed that farmhouse. I told you the story a while, but I went, my parents' eyes were this big. They could see that something's happened. This guy's lost it, I think. He's weird. Okay, but I anointed the house. I prayed for the farm every time I used to go visit them. I used to testify to every person that I saw. You know, when I was running, I used to talk to people when I was running. Led a couple of people to Christ, but I tell you, I was in a family, and I experienced the fire of God. I experienced that evangelistic anointing. I experienced the pastoral anointing, the prophetic anointing, the teaching anointing, whatever. The fivefold ministry was in our church at the time, and I experienced growth. I was equipped to do the work of the ministry as a normal, plain engineer. Didn't have a clue about life. But I had a clue about Jesus. I love Jesus, and I love this church, and I started to get involved. Like Heinrich said, I was also an usher, welcoming people at the door, like me, the most introverted oak. Okay, I used to hide behind the couch when people came to visit us on the farm. I used to hide behind, like in rooms, because the more people, the worse for me. I was so shy, but God says, stand at the door and welcome people. And I'm so on fire for the Lord. All the extrovert stuff goes out the door. I'm like, I can't wait to see people. I can't wait. Welcome. The house of the Lord's the best place to be. And I can go on and on and on. But family, fellowship, discipleship happens. We're forming into the image of Christ happens in church. So you need to have faith, amen? Because that's for you personally, but you need to have fellowship. You need to be part of a family. And I want to say, guys, if God wants you here, I don't want people that God doesn't want here. Okay? I want to say that if God doesn't want you here, I want to really say, go find a place where God wants you. Okay, this is not a great way to grow church, okay? But I really want to say, if God doesn't want you to be planted yet, get planted somewhere else. And I've got great relationships with the other pastors, and I'm blessing people because I know Gateway is an awesome church. Every Nation's awesome. CRC's awesome. There's a lot of awesome churches, okay? So go to where you are planted. Go to another church if you need to. Go to Baptista or whatever. But be planted there. Amen. But if you want to be planted here, I want to say, be planted, become a member, give, serve, go all out, because Jesus is an all-out Jesus. Amen. So that's why we announce it. If you need to be a member, come to the 19th of April. Come to the 26th of April. It's just one Wednesday night. Give up 3 hours. Become a member. Hear what we're about. Hear what Christ is about, because the first one is about Christ. The second one is about church, shofar specifically. And then you can become a member, and you can say, sign here. Let's go full out. Amen. God understands relationship. God understands commitment. And that's what we're here for, to commit to the family, to be formed. And it's not easy. I want to say, welcome to church is not always easy. Because I'm not perfect, and my wife's not perfect, the leaders aren't perfect. None of us are perfect. But I know what is happening here is Christ is being formed in us. Amen. But go all out for Jesus. And then lastly, and I'll get to that next week as well, the fishing part. I think we all need to get our rods out. Tell someone next to you, it's time to get your rod out. We need to fish for people. Guys, if it's not our priority to reach the lost, I want to say it's God's priority. If it's not our priority to reach the lost, we seriously need to consider, why are we doing what we're doing? Because no one is more important than anyone else. Why should you have the privilege of church? Why should I have the privilege of church? We are not better. God didn't save us because we're better. Amen. He wants the lost saved. And that's why we're going to pray on the 22nd of April for this nation to change. But ultimately, there's only one thing and one person that can change this nation, and that's Jesus Christ. When he meets people and people meet him, then the nation will be changed. One person at a time. The kingdom of God is within us. It's not about an event, but the event, I trust, will spark revival. Amen. Revival starts in every heart. And sometimes it starts here in church. Amen. It starts with our hearts, because we need to be revived again. We need to be on fire for the Lord again, so that we can be fishers for men. So I want to say, if you want to connect with the heart of God, you need to connect with the lost. And I want to say, the best way to test your own faith is to share your faith with someone else. I don't know about you, but you know, when you share your faith with someone, when you lead someone to Christ, or you just explain the gospel, then you realize, how much do I know the gospel? How much do I know Jesus? Because sometimes we share shaky stuff, isn't it? So we're not sure, you know, is God good? Or shucks, you know, this person's got this opinion, but and then you're shaken by, you know, your faith. And do you know God? Because this guy's got a lot of opinions, yeah, and he's an atheist, or he's... I remember we were driving to work one day, and the guy in the lift club with us was very against the Lord. He said he's an agnostic atheist or whatever. He doesn't believe. And so my friend and I, we were in Shofar at the time, and he was challenged by this guy. And I said to him, Willie, you mustn't be shaken by this, okay? You need to know who God is. But this guy came with his arguments, and I just said, you know what? He's just hurt. Let's just pray. We can't convince him now. But I had to encourage this guy just to be steadfast in his faith, because he suddenly wanted to start doubting. And you know, it's in those times when you're tested, and your faith, you're tested whether you really know God or not. Isn't that so? And so I want to challenge us to start to give out, to start to share the gospel, start to make the gospel real for us by sharing it, not just having it in our minds, but having it in our hearts, that we can share from the heart, that we can share passionately like Uncle Angus does, you know. It's real for him. It's faith. He's got faith for massive stuff, because he knows a God who's able to do the impossible. Amen. This weekend, like Caitlin started to get sick this weekend, and you can ask Matthew. Yeah, we prayed for him last night, or we prayed for her, like, because she had a tummy problem and a sore head. And we, as all three of us, amazing. Nathan prays, Matthew prays. She's lying in her bed, and we just say, God, we bring Caitlin before you. And she woke up this morning fine. She was really feeling sick last night. But we've got faith for healing. I believe we can have faith for a lot of stuff. We've got faith for salvation. We want to pray for the lost. We pray for the lost. Pray for people's lives to be changed. Whatever you've got faith for, but it's going to reflect in your prayer life. It's going to reflect in how you respond. Amen. Because if you don't have faith, it's not going to be said. You're not going to say it if you don't really believe it. If you believe strongly about something, you're going to say it. Amen. You're going to tell someone, or at least just tell yourself, you know, God is great, God is able, God is awesome. Like we heard in the worship earlier. So I want to say, let us make an effort to find out who is lost at least. Amen. We don't know who to pray for if we don't know who's really lost. So let's find out in our relationship spheres. Let's find out who doesn't know Jesus, who maybe is religious, or who knows about God, but doesn't know Jesus personally. Let's find out at least and start to pray for them. And when the opportunity arises, let's testify and say, you know what? Jesus is the Savior. He's awesome. He's the answer to life. I want to end off this morning and just saying that, you know, Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he talks about five purposes that we live for. And I agree with him, but I also want to say, I believe there's only one purpose. And he says, first of all, we are planned for God's pleasure. talks about, you know, just living a life of worship and just having a relationship with God ultimately. Then he said, we formed for God's family. And then he says, we created to be like Christ, we shaped for service, and we made for a mission. But you see, I believe if we are conformed to the image of Christ, you know what will happen? We will give pleasure to God. We will become part of a family. We will become like Christ, because that's the number three in his thing is all there is to become like Christ, to be conformed to his image. And then we will be shaped for service. As we become like Christ, we'll serve, we'll give, we'll love people, and we'll go on missions. We'll do missions. We'll be missionaries if we become like Jesus Christ. So that's my prayer for all of us, that we have Christ formed in us. Like Paul prayed for the Galatians. He says, I'm laboring. I'm like giving birth here, that Christ may be formed in you. And that's my prayer for all of us as Shofar in Bloemfontein and as every believer. I believe God wants to form himself in us, that we become like him. Jesus said that we're going to do greater works than he did. Amen. Anyone excited for the greater works that Jesus did? Anyone excited to do greater works than Jesus did? I believe we need to have faith for that. Amen. We sometimes just say it, but do we have faith for it? And are we going to lay hands on the sick? And are we going to go to the lost and lead people to Christ? Are we going to set the captives free? Are we going to pray for people to be delivered, to be healed, to be discipled? Are we going to disciple people? Are we going to deliberately go out and say, Lord, I want to be like you and do the things that you did, even greater works than you did? The band can come up this morning as we just close. David, in the Bible it says that David served God's purposes in his own generation. David served God's purposes in his own generation. And I don't know about you, but I want that written on my gravestone one day. That Alistair served God's purposes. Alistair was conformed to the image of Christ. Alistair lived a life that reflected, that represented, and that reproduced Jesus Christ. What about you? What about Tumi? What about Sean? What about Vainant? What about Johan? What about Benny? Lucy? What about Matthew? Are you going to live a life where you conformed to the image of the Son of God? And it's so freeing, because you know what? You don't do a lot of stuff. You just say, God, I want to know you. I want to be like you, but thank you that you bear fruit through my life. Thank you that you light this fire in my heart. Thank you that you make me a fisher of men. Because I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you this morning that your word is so simple, Lord. Thank you for our purpose, Lord. And Lord, it's not our purpose. Thank you that we can lay aside our purpose. We can lay aside my purpose and my calling and my destiny, Lord. We can lay aside all the big pride stuff that comes in, Lord. The I and me and myself and my stuff and my things, Lord. We realize tonight, Lord, that it's not at all about us, Lord. But it's about the one who designed us, who created us. Lord, thank you that we realized in the last few weeks that we are your sons and daughters, Lord. We are your chosen people. Thank you, Lord, that it's not good enough just to know that we're yours, Lord. We want to be like you, Jesus. And so help us, Holy Spirit. I pray for an anointing of your Spirit upon each one of our lives, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would anoint us afresh and fill us afresh, Lord. God, I pray for a desire for your Spirit in our lives, a desire to walk with you in a personal, living, awesome relationship that exceeds everything else in this life. I just sense a word for someone here this morning that the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the Spirit, but it's like the Holy Spirit is not precious to you. That relationship with the Holy Spirit, that intimacy that you have with the Holy Spirit is not precious to you. It's like there's so many other things that are dear to you. Even your wife and your kids are so dear to you. But I sense it's a guy here this morning. There's a man here. The Lord is saying to you that the Holy Spirit wants to be precious again in your life. Because he was precious at one stage, but he's like a little bit been pushed on the side because there's other things that are shouting loudly. There's other things that are so precious to you and consume your time. But the Lord is just saying He wants you to make Him by His Spirit, or He wants you to make His Spirit, the relationship with the Holy Spirit, precious again. Because I believe you've been called to be a spokesperson for God. I believe God wants you to speak on His behalf, and He's not going to let you speak until you just make the Spirit precious again in your life. That relationship, that still small voice. But just allow the Holy Spirit right now just to become real in all of our lives. Let's allow Him to become real again. Let's allow His voice to be clear to us, because we're so distracted many times. And God says, all I want you to do is just to have me formed in you, and I'm going to do it by my Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. And I just sense the Lord wants, there's some people here, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to make you gentle again, because you've become harsh almost. You've become hard, and you're supposed to be gentle. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Just see a picture of a scarlet thread for someone. There's a scarlet thread, like Rahab, the prostitute that just hung the scarlet thread out the window. And I believe someone here, you feel so defiled, you feel so dirty, and I believe there's a scarlet thread. The blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse you from your sin. You're feeling defiled, you're feeling like the Spirit isn't welcome, then I want to say, just allow the blood of Jesus to make that way again, to make that way possible, where the Spirit is welcome in your life, because the Holy Spirit is sensitive. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot operate in an environment of sin, and he just backs off. He's grieved. He's quenched many times, but the blood is enough. I want to say to someone, yeah, the blood of Jesus Christ is enough for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to just remind you of that, and then just welcoming him in again. Don't let that defilement or that sin or that shame just allow you to have a wedge between you and the Spirit. The scarlet thread, the blood of Jesus is enough. Thank Him for the blood. Repent of your sin. Repent of the stuff. Just walk away. Choose to turn away from it now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, You're welcome here in our lives, Lord. I believe, Lord, that we so grieve You and quench You many times because of our busyness, Lord. Not because of sin necessarily, not because of our bad stuff we do, Lord, just because of our lives are focused so much on other stuff, Lord. And I thank You to this morning, Holy Spirit, that You are welcome in our lives, that You want to come in. You want to form Yourself in us, Lord. You want to form the fruits of the Spirit in us, Lord, that we can be a fragrance to the nations, Lord. We can be the fragrance of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask the band, if you guys can just minister. You guys are welcome just to sit there. I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to just work in every heart right now. So just allow the ministry of the music just to facilitate the presence of God in your life, just to let the Spirit flow over you. And if you need to repent of stuff, just repent now. If you need to forgive people, if there's a hardness of heart, just allow the Holy Spirit to soften your heart this morning. If there's a fear of man in your life, I just sense God wants to remove the fear of man, because when you fear God, nothing else matters. You don't need to fear telling people the good news or praying for people or witnessing or just being bold for Jesus, being like Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.